Welcome. That clip reminds us that we're an island. And in times of conflict, particularly the last two big world wars, the sea lanes have to be kept open. Whether it's flat calm, whether it's like that, or even if it's worse than that, it's still got to be kept open. Right, the reading for this morning, not like other mornings, which were about a decade long, one line. And it comes from John, and it's John 15, verse 13, a very simple line. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And we know that at that point Jesus is talking to the disciples, but that one line has gone down through the centuries as the wars have opened out on this planet that God so beautifully made. No greater love has that than the man who gives down his life for his friends. And that's what's happened in what we remember today. Because all those years ago, the people who died was absolutely astonishing. In World War I and II, over 1 million armed personnel died. That doesn't include civilians. And in the First World War, 800,000 died alone in the First World War. And the significance of the 2 minutes, I don't know if you know the significance of the 2 minutes. The first minute is for those who died. The second minute is for those who returned. Hence, we've finished up with 2 minutes. And it started many years ago, and that has come down the centuries over the years. And it's something that needs to carry on, whether it will carry on as our generations kick our buckets and disappear off to heaven, because the people that are coming along have lost sight of what it costs for them to sit and enjoy the freedom that they have walking out there. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning in a congregation like many others meeting around our country this morning. And when we think of the other countries that are involved in this morning's ceremonies, from around the Commonwealth, or what's known as the Empire, for all those people who took the call, your country needs you. And we pray, Lord, that for all those fellowships that meet and celebrate this morning, in some ways it's a celebration of freedom, and in some ways it's tinged with sadness. But we do know this, that you are in control. We do know that you care. And despite what we see in the world today, we know that one day you will return and the world will be put right as our Father in heaven wants it. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this morning's gathering, and we thank you that we do remember. Help us never forget what we need to remember. Amen.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
That video reminds us that our armed forces, ground forces, are not simply people who fight. They take humanitarian aid round the world. Let us not forget that for armed force personnel, don't say, I can't do that. Sorry, not doing that, not going there. I'll get your union rep. They just get a signal and off they go. You go where you're told. And it can be at very short notice. when we see things like that, that just gives you a glimpse of what you may not realise that the army gets up to. Now, we're going to sing a song now, and some of you grizzled old Christians might think, well, this is a strange song for today. But when I was looking for the hymn that was going to fit in with the army, I come across the title of this song we're going to sing in a moment, which is An Army of Ordinary People. And suddenly through my mind went a picture of the First World War people. Because the First World War was fought by ordinary people. Butchers, bakers, solicitors, teachers. And they all came together in little battalions and groups which were brought together round towns or villages or whatever. And they were called the Pals or the Chums. And believe it or not, there was the Grimsby Chums. And they served on the Battle of the Somme on the first day. They lost 522. You can read, if you go online, you can read all about the Chums and the Pals. Because if you remember then, everybody thought, well, it's going to be finished by Christmas. So they all volunteered to go over, because singing the songs, going a long road to Tipperary and all that, and off they went, singing away. But it didn't end at Christmas, did it? It went on for years, and thousands upon thousands died in the attrition. And that's what we remember today. And it was not just this country that suffered all those casualties. At one battle at Verdun in France, which was a strategic town for the Germans to take and the French to hold, because from Verdun to Paris it was one road, 300,000 French died there in one battle. The Germans lost the same amount. In the end, what happened? I don't know why I'm giving you this history, Tretton, it's Sunday. In the end, what happened? The Battle of the Somme was started to relieve Verdun. The Germans had to suddenly go over with another battlefront. But I'm now going to share something with you which I found to be very, very, very sad. You can pick the bones out of it and think what you want. But when we went to Verdun and we went round the battlefield there, and you can't imagine fighting there, and you come through the forests, and there were patches where groups of soldiers had died, and there were white crosses in the wood where the French had put the crosses. And then suddenly, it upsets me now, there's a group of black crosses. Why on earth did they put black crosses there? I thought that was so sad. And it broke my heart, didn't it? Really hurt. To think that a country that think that they're Christian could put black crosses on their enemies' graves. Because they could have been Christians. But moving on from that sad piece, let us just remember that while we sing this song, it does seem not a Remembrance Sunday song, but it's an army of ordinary people who fought for the freedom that we have today.
Here inscribed the names of friends we knew, young men with whom we often flew, scrambled to many angels high, they knew that they or friends might die. Many were very scarcely trained, and many badly burnt or maimed. Behind each name a story lies of bravery in summer skies. Though many brave unwritten tales were simply told in vapor trails, many now lie in sacred graves, and many rest beneath the waves. Outnumbered every day they flew, remembered here as just the few.
For the armed forces, we need control of the skies at times of conflict. And no longer is it a case of just saying to somebody, right, here's a rifle, off you go, as it was in the First World War. Them days have long gone, as people in here can testify. It's highly technical now. Even the squaddy on the ground with a rifle is loaded down with electronic equipment. So it's a very technical war. And control of the skies was important during the Second World War. Not so much the first, but really in the second. And we need to remember that people flew and never came back. The Few is a title that's often used for that Battle of Britain. And it was a battle for this country. And this is the day when the country, one day in the year, when the country should just turn its eyes towards the price of freedom. Now, I've got a short talk this morning. I have my notes somewhere. Where did I put them? Oh, there. Told you it was short, didn't I? Because it's type of service it is. Don't want to bog you down with too much. I could get carried away, but I won't. But we need to remember today. And we remember it for reasons. The title for this morning's talk, if you can remember this one, Tim, it's not the one on the sheet. It's Freedom Costs. Freedom Costs. It cost a lot of people their lives. It cost a lot of people broken marriages. It cost a lot of people disability. Freedom costs. And one of the sad things today in this country is some people cannot stand still for 2 minutes to remember what it cost for us to be alive today. Because if you've ever been to Bletchley Park and you've seen a signal that was intercepted from the German High Command of what they were going to do with this country when, if they invaded, we wouldn't be here. I certainly wouldn't be here. I'm 77, I wouldn't be here. Paul's older than me in a month's time, but he wouldn't be here either. But we need to remember that. We lose sight of that, and the youngsters today lose sight of it. People seem to think, well, I'm happy, I can do this, that and the other. They don't realise that freedom today costs. And it cost a lot. I don't know if it's worth putting these on because I can't see particularly well with them. But there, it doesn't matter. And so the freedom cost bit is something that's important, because what happens when we go to war, people return with scars. They come back bits in bits and pieces. Audrey's father in the Second World War was blown up in the desert during the campaign there. Captured by the Germans, taken to a German prisoner of war camp in Italy, shrapnel all over him, and his arm was damaged. He never recovered from that arm. It was always slightly out of kilter. And he still had the marks of shrapnel on his body. Freedom costs. We see the disability of some of the armed forces people from modern warfare, from Afghanistan. Freedom costs. And it costs people an awful lot. We read this reading this morning, and that stands true today, doesn't it? You could put those words today. No greater love as this, that one man should lay his life down for a friend. But we need to remember today that the armed forces may not know you from Adam. And they still go. I know myself what it's like to go. Go on leave on the Friday, phone call Saturday morning, I'm flying south on Sunday. I was meant to be on leave. People know that, Paul knows that. You just go, because that's what has to happen. And there are lots of things that we can talk about this morning about this freedom that costs. But there's something other kind when we remember. When we meet as fellowship on Sundays, it's Remembrance Sunday. Because every time a fellowship meets in this fellowship here, we meet to remember what happened there. Freedom costs. It cost God an awful lot. We know that. It cost Jesus an awful lot, and we know that. And we know that because history tells us that when God must have looked down on this earth and saw his son being abused, beaten, dragged about like a rag doll, then up the hill, he must have broke his heart to see his son nailed to a cross. What on earth happened here? Why don't I just blast the earth to pieces? And his son on that cross, Jesus our Lord, in agony, in pain. And those awful words that came out of his mouth, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because, son, I know it's going to be all right in the end. And it was, we know that. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. If he hadn't, we'd have been in a pickle, basically. But you see, freedom costs. It cost God the agony of seeing his son die on a cross. The agony of seeing the people that he'd sent his son for ignore him and not accept where he'd come for. They had enough warning, and yet they didn't see it. And it's like today. We can tell people about Jesus as much as we like because the warning bells are written down. Not just in this book or that book, but history tells us. But they don't pay any attention to it. And still God looks down on the earth he created and wonders why he bothered. But he bothered because on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. And his son came out there and said, I am alive. And because he's alive, those of us who meet in buildings like this have hope, don't we? You wouldn't have hope in a dead man, would you? If the stone was still across the front, you'd think, well, there's no point, is there? But because he's alive, we have hope. Hope that one day he will return and put everything right. You see, freedom costs and scars are carried. And we know this too, don't we? Can you remember the upper room? First time Jesus came back in there, they met with the disciples. The disciples, oh yes, great, Jesus is alive. Thomas was missing. Second time, Jesus turns up. Thomas is in the room. Oh, how do you do that, Thomas? I hear you've got a problem. Well, have I, Lord? Well, I think you have. Didn't you say, unless you believe and put your hand, finger in my holes in my body and put your hand in my side, you're not going to believe in me? Is that an issue for you? Here you are then. Stick it in there. Do you want to have a go at that one? And Thomas went, my Lord and my God. Those were the scars that Jesus had to bear for freedom that we survive in today. We gather in religious freedom here because of what happened on the cross. And that echo, that thing, no greater love, as that one man lays down his life for his friends. Jesus went not willingly to the cross, don't forget. People say he did, but he didn't, because he remembered in the garden, if you can take this away from me, Father, I don't want to do it. Son, you've got to do it, because if these people are going to make it through life, they have got to know you personally. And for each one of us here, and if you don't know who Jesus is, and sometimes it's for those Christians who sit on the fence, they need to be like Thomas. They need to reach out and put the fingers through the holes where the nails went. They need to reach up and put their hand in Jesus' side. And then, as Kitchener said, your country needs you. We as Christians simply say, this world needs you, Jesus. And that'll be better. Freedom costs. So as we go out from here today and get on to watch the football or rugby or whatever, go to sleep, don't forget that today is one day when we remember the armed forces. But every Sunday we come here, we remember the cross and that freedom costs.